the state is calling on energy company Enbridge to halt work on its Line 5 reroute. That's in response to a gas leak in Iron County that began Tuesday with an accident at an excavation site. It's Friday, August 28th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, Sheboygan could be the latest Wisconsin community to cut ties with Flock Safety, the company behind a license plate reader camera system. And we'll hear about the history of the Jewish community in Sheboygan and the former synagogue that was the religious home of immigrants who settled there.
The synagogue that my family belonged to, it was called the Brick Shul. Shul meaning a Yiddish word for synagogue.
Stay with us.
Help students start and stay writing with Wubin Soccer, a free multimedia resource from PBS Wisconsin Education and UW-Madison School of Education. Collaborative arts-based activities and lessons are designed to help learners build confidence in writing and see how extraordinary their ideas are. Visit pbswisconsineducation.org to explore the Wubin Soccer collection today.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking Enbridge to halt work on its Line 5 reroute in response to a gas leak in Iron County that began Tuesday. As Daniel Kading reports, the agency sent a letter to Enbridge officials yesterday.
In the letter, DNR Secretary Karen Hyun said the agency is, quote, deeply concerned by the spill and frustrated by other failures to meet state regulations. The agency wants Enbridge to stop work until the leak is resolved and measures are in place to prevent future spills. The DNR is asking Enbridge for answers about the worst-case release, air monitoring results, and a timeline for controlling the leak. Governor Tony Evers says the people of Wisconsin expect Enbridge to be, quote, transparent and accountable. Enbridge didn't comment on the letter. The company has said an unoccupied semi-truck rolled into an excavation site, striking the pipe and releasing natural gas liquids. The company continues to work with local emergency response teams to stabilize the site. Line 5 remains shut down. The company hoped to bring it back in service by September 5th. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Sheboygan could be the latest Wisconsin community to cut ties with Flock Safety, the company behind a license plate reader camera system. There are 15 of the cameras there. But a city statement says the police department, quote, became aware of actions by Flock Safety, believed to be inconsistent with the terms and expectations of the city's contract. Now the police chief and city administrator are pushing for the common council to end the contract during a meeting next month. Alder Susie Borsi is the Common Council president. She agrees with the move.
I guess it boils down to the fact that we just can't be too careful about how our data is being used.
In a prior statement to WPR, a spokesperson for Flock Safety said the technology has been used to help solve crimes across the state. Microsoft state regulators and customer advocates are raising concerns about a utility proposal meant to shield existing customers from transmission costs associated with data centers. Joe Schultz has more on their filings with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Microsoft and the State Public Service Commission told federal regulators that a proposal from American Transmission Company and We Energies may not do enough to protect customers from data center costs. The utilities are asking regulators to sign off on a transmission charge agreement for Microsoft's project in Mount Pleasant. That comes as American Transmission Company is planning to build around $2 billion in new or upgraded infrastructure related to powering Wisconsin data centers. Tom Content is with the Citizens Utility Board.
More work needs to be done to make sure that costs are being fairly paid for by the right people, meaning Microsoft.
The utilities say they're committed to ensuring data centers pay their fair share. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Green Bay Packers star running back Josh Jacobs is facing criminal charges related to a domestic violence arrest back in May. The Brown County District Attorney is charging Jacobs with misdemeanor battery and misdemeanor criminal property damage. Police were called to Jacobs' Hobart home in late May in response to a call about a disturbance between a man and woman. The criminal complaint says Jacobs' girlfriend told police he threw her to the ground and damaged her cell phone after the two had a heated argument. Court records say surveillance footage from the home corroborates the relevant portions of the woman's story. At the time of his arrest, Jacobs denied allegations of wrongdoing. The Green Bay Packers and the NFL did not immediately respond to a request for comment on Jacobs' charges. The Packers signed Jacobs in 2024. He was drafted by the then Oakland Raiders in 2019. AI tools make it easy to generate realistic-looking depictions of just about anyone. As Anya Van Wagenendonk reports, these tools are creeping into campaigns.
Recently, Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden posted a deepfake video to social media that looked like his Democratic opponent, Rebecca Cook. His campaign called the video satire. Cook called it character defamation and said she'd push for guardrails on AI in Congress. Peter Loge directs the School of Media at George Washington University. He said it's hard to regulate political speech, which is highly protected under the First Amendment, but he said just because something is legal doesn't make it appropriate.
You could dress up in a bunny suit, stand across the street from an elementary school yelling slander about Santa Claus. That's probably legal, but you really shouldn't do it.
Loge argued that these deepfakes can train voters not to trust their own eyes and that candidates should instead focus on their records and the issues that affect voters' lives. Anya Van Wagenendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Scientists say the strengthening El Niño is likely to be the largest ever recorded, increasing the chances of a warmer fall and winter in Wisconsin. Scientists have measured the highest ocean temperature on record that's driven by a strong El Niño and decades of global warming. The climate pattern is a warming that occurs in the tropical Pacific Ocean, and a strong event occurs when the ocean is 2 degrees Celsius warmer than normal. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is predicting a greater than 90% chance of a very strong El Niño during the fall and winter. Dan Vimont is a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
This is likely to be the largest El Niño event in recorded history. So in the tropical Pacific, this is an enormous event. And that definitely weights the dice here in Wisconsin.
NOAA's fall outlook slightly favors above normal temperatures, with equal chances for above or below normal rainfall. Coming up after the break, we'll hear about the history of the synagogues of Sheboygan and the city's once thriving Jewish population. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Elkins, and I'm hosting a Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin-sponsored tour with Holiday Vacations. This fall, 2026, we'll cruise the musical Danube River, starting in Budapest and then sailing aboard an Amadeus ship to Vienna and Salzburg, and ending in Prague. Join us for this incredible journey. Our adventure begins at wpr.org/travel.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a historic synagogue and its community.
In the early 20th century, millions of Jewish people fled Russia due to persecution and poor quality of life. Some of them ended up in Wisconsin. In Sheboygan, a former synagogue with an historic stained glass window acts as a testament to the area's once thriving Jewish community. Molly Hunken brings us their story.
Most Jewish people who emigrated from Eastern Europe to the United States came to cities, but some did settle in smaller towns. One such community was Sheboygan, Wisconsin. With a population nearing just 23,000 by 1900, the town of Sheboygan was small, not somewhere you might imagine large groups of new U.S. immigrants flocking to. However, according to Susie Albert Drazen, Sheboygan was where employers were hiring. Her first family member arrived there in 1904.
And they said, well, and pointing to a map of the United States, you can find work here, here, and here, and they're hiring here, here, and here. So they fronted him train ticket money, and away he went to Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
The first synagogue in Sheboygan opened its doors in 1903, and by the time Drazen was growing up there, Sheboygan was home to three synagogues.
The synagogue that my family belonged to, it was called the Brick Shul. Shul meaning a Yiddish word for synagogue. That was because it was made of bricks. There was also a white shul because it was white. And then there was the Holman Shul, which the Holman family founded.
The white shul had originally formed in the 1890s as an Orthodox congregation called Adas Israel, meaning Community of Israel. The architecture of the White Shul included a large onion dome at the top of the building, as well as a stunning stained glass window that featured a Star of David.
The window is about 6.5 feet high and 3 feet wide.
That's David Driscoll, a curator at the Wisconsin Historical Society. He shows me the window, which is now hanging up in their storage facility.
And in the middle, there's a kind of leaded glass Star of David that's kind of a mottled white and brown color.
The Wisconsin Historical Society has been able to preserve this key remnant of Aras Israel. And according to Susie Drazen, the window's material has an important purpose in Jewish culture and religion.
In Judaism, there is a concept called Hidur Mitzvah, and it means that we are beautifying the mitzvah. It's like dressing up to go to church or to synagogue. A stained glass window is something special. A stained glass window is something extra. It's beautiful.
Jewish families attended services, educated their children, and became involved in the vibrant community surrounding the White Shul for decades. But by the 1940s, much of the new generation of Sheboygan's Jews didn't feel as connected to Orthodox Judaism. So in 1944, the Orthodox congregations of Sheboygan were largely replaced by a new group called Congregation Bethel, which is the only remaining synagogue in Sheboygan. And over the last few decades, Sheboygan's Jewish population has shrunk considerably. Jonathan Pollack is the chair of the history department at Madison Area Technical College and an honorary fellow at the Center for Jewish Studies at UW-Madison. He says this is a common trend.
Jewish families in small towns, especially, starting really in the 1920s, saw college as like a great thing and something they wanted their kids to pursue for all the opportunities that a college education brought, that same education meant that a lot of people were not going back home.
Having grown up in Sheboygan, Drazen agrees.
We were not encouraged to stay. We were encouraged to college, make a life, and perhaps find a larger Jewish community to be part of.
Drazen and Pollack both think that unless more job opportunities arise in Sheboygan, the Jewish community will likely continue to shrink. However, pieces like the Star of David window are an important reminder of the rich history of Jewish culture in Sheboygan.
Molly Honkin brought us that story on a Sheboygan synagogue. The building's stained glass window is part of the Wisconsin 101 Project, which tells our state's history through objects. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Now for a check of the forecast. Expect patchy fog early, otherwise lots of sunshine and mild today. Highs will reach into the upper 70s to low 80s. And then tonight, clouding over with some showers possible toward the morning in the northwest. Lows will drop down to the mid-50s to near 60. And for Saturday, mainly cloudy, periods of rain likely, although the southeast may not get it until the evening. Highs likely to reach in the low to mid-70s. And that's all for Wisconsin Today Morning News on this Friday. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you have a great weekend. And on Monday, you will be hearing our host, Alex Crow, once again. He is returning after 6 weeks of paternity leave as his family gave birth to a second child, baby boy Crow, at the end of July. So my interim duties are complete, and I will be back behind the scenes producing the podcast and bringing more content, of course, to Morning Edition. But so happy to have Alex back on Monday, and we'll, of course, have more Wisconsin news then. Have a great weekend.